Just let's all prepare our hearts for the word this morning, just to pray. So let's just lift up Mark this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Mark. We thank you for his faithfulness. We thank you for the message that you've downloaded into his heart to share with us. Lord, let our hearts be open to receive everything that you want us to hear from you. And let that message come out clear. Let it resonate deep in our hearts to change us, to transform us, so that we become all that you called us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Okay, I just want us to look at a clip this morning before I start to preach. If any of you have never ever surfed before, the reason the guy's being pulled by a jet ski is because you have to understand the size of the wave and the power and the movement of the wave. The surfer cannot surf onto the wave, so he has to be pulled onto the wave by a jet ski. I don't know what happened, but he comes out of that. He made it the whole way. And so while we're just setting this thing up here, was that awesome? You should be. I think that wave, if I remember correctly, I'm not sure, there was two clips I looked at. The one wave was 60 foot, and the other one was 90 foot. So I think there was the 90 foot one. So the reason I showed you this morning, a new season. Okay, I'm quicker than the machine today. It was awesome, eh? Okay, turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 54. I'm trying. Isaiah 54. It's good to carry your Bibles with you. It's called the sword. How are you going to go to battle if you haven't got a sword? Help me, somebody. I haven't got my sword. Yeah, you go to war. You got no sword. You run and stand behind somebody else. Miracles do happen. Welcome back to Renner Singers. They've been sick for like 3 weeks, 4 weeks, a month just about. Praise God for his healing mercies. And we were then when we were gone. Okay, I'm just going to carry on. Isaiah 54. It's not me. Okay. It won't work? Okay. Well, Isaiah 54. Sing, O barren one, you who did not bear, bring forth into singing and cry aloud. You have not been in labor, for the children of the desolate one will be more than the children of her who is married, says the Lord. And this is the part. Enlarge the place of your tent, and let the curtains of your habitation be stretched out. Do not hold back. I think most of what we're trying to be saying over the last 3 weeks, what we said this morning in the prayer meeting, what we've said through scripture and prophecy this morning, do not hold back. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. For you'll spread abroad to the right and to the left, and your offspring will possess the nations and will people the desolate cities. That's an amazing promise and word from God. Now let's just see if it's, no, it's not working. Okay, well, I'm working here. I don't know how to tell you to keep up. So this morning, I want to preach on a defining word. And if you look at my picture, you'll see the size of the surfer on the size of that wave. A defining word, a defining moment. We cannot manufacture a defining moment, a kairos moment. We have to be observant. We have to be watching. We have to be expectant. We have to understand that God is in the business. We always look for the big things. I mean, anybody here want to go and tackle that wave? You're right. You need a lobotomy first to go and do that thing. That is total craziness. But we see something as big as that and we think, well, it just can't be possible. But we know that a kairos moment is a fixed or a special moment as opposed to a chronos moment, which is just space and time. And we all live in chronos moment. But it's the kairos moments. And we've left up the prophetic words here. If you missed last week, you can come and grab one here. The Mark Henchard came in on November the 6th and spoke to us. And we want to see that we don't miss the moment. And that's why we are laboring this point so much, that we are all on the same page, that we're all crossing over together. I know I mentioned last week that we're like a bridge and we're crossing over, and someone said to me, are we selling the building? Are we moving? I said, no, we're not. We're staying right here. This is a kairos moment for us where we want to move into the things that God has for us. I want to read a little story to you. She taught the city's children of privilege in a wealthy, manicured neighborhood that stood in sharp contrast to the adjacent slum area. She kept to herself and tried not to venture out into the neighborhood areas. One evening, as she walked down the street, she heard a woman crying for help. Just then, a dying woman fell into her arms. Seeing that her condition was critical, she rushed her to the hospital. When the staff observed that the ill woman was poor, they were told to take a seat and wait. She sensed this woman was going to die without immediate attention, so she left and went to another hospital. And again, they were told to wait. After the nurse and doctors still didn't come, she took the dying woman to her own home, where later that night she died in the school teacher's arms. This young teacher decided that would never happen again to anyone if she could help it. She decided to devote the rest of her life to easing the pain of those around her so they could live or die in dignity. The city was Calcutta. The woman was, it was for her a defining moment. We as a church are going through a defining moment. Next slide. A defining moment may often look so over the top and impossible that we exclude all its probability and potential. Quite a famous guy said that. You're all so funny. I want to ask you two questions this morning. A defining moment, two questions. In the natural, what will you do with this defining moment? I'm not talking about just today. We're in a season of this defining, but our job is to observe it, take hold of it, see that it is, and adjust accordingly. Secondly, in the spiritual, what will you allow God to do within you in this defining moment? We're all there. Okay. When I say I, myself, my wife, the other two pastors and their wives, we believe for our church we are in a defining moment. Our job, as I said, is to recognize it as God leads us into this kairos moment and see where God is taking us. Some of you have just come and just landed here at this particular point in time, and that's wonderful. In Matthew 26:18, he said, go into the city to a certain man and say to him, the teacher says, my time is at hand. My kairos is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. Jesus was letting them know, he was letting them into a big secret. He was letting them into a point in time, a kairos moment, that they would never walk this way again in the time of history. That this would be a defining moment for him and his disciples, because he was preparing them for when he would go to the cross. And what would happen thereafter. We make decisions daily. We think consciously and subconsciously we make decisions, and we just sometimes we don't even think about it. Even big decisions, we just make them and then we wonder, how did I get here? How did I land here? And we have little kairos moments along the way. Wednesday night, and I'm just going to be silly and say, if you missed it, I'm sorry for you, was a kairos moment in this church. The power of God was so thick up the front here, we could hardly stand. And where's Monique? She's out teaching kids. She, huh? Okay, there she is. Right. Monique brought a word that she felt Lord give her in the afternoon. And she brought a bowl and a bottle of wine. Skanda. Afrikaans meaning terrible. A bottle of wine into the church. And she felt that the Lord had told her to take a glass and pour it into the glass. And it wasn't so much just to see how much she could fill it up, but that the overflow of that new wine for the new season, and as it splashed over the glass and into the bowl, would go out into the city, into the streets. It would be for us here and for us to take that new wine, the new season, the new whatever it is that God has for us. As I said last week, we can come up with a whole bunch of things as pastors. We can sit down and we can talk about it and we can come up with a whole bunch of good ideas. But for good ideas, we don't need faith. And we just set up the calendar for the year and we just set up whatever we want to do and we'll have fun, and some of us will have fun anyway. But that's not what we're about. We want to seek God's face. And that's why these words that came through Mark Hanschett, these are not, and you need to understand, this is not 19 phrases that he dreamt up on the way here that we've said, yeah, we have no other ideas what to do for the new year, so we're just going to do what Mark says we should do. How do you know that? Well, I don't know. You're just going to have to trust us on that one. But when he was prophesying this stuff, we were going, wow, yeah, that's been in our hearts. Wow, that's where we're going. Yes. So that's how we knew this was from God, because it wasn't a whole litany of different points that we now got to see if it's a tick-off thing. It was what is in, what was already in our hearts, what God had showed us already. And then we were walking into them, and Mark didn't know anything about that. And he just trotted these out. And then continued to prophesy over the pastors, and we were going, yes. And there were things that he said to me and over me that he could never have known. That Bridget and I had stored up in our hearts for such a time as this. I'm excited about it. And when you were here last time, we did this whole rah, rah, and banging your shield. And you can keep doing that every Sunday. Because that's our heart. Thank you, Ken. And sometimes the biggest decision we make, ladies, is what to wear today. And for men, what should I eat for breakfast this morning? And hot dogs look better than Subway sometimes. We are the sum of the decisions we make. We are the sum of the decisions we make. In actual fact, not to make a decision is actual fact making a decision. You know that old expression, evil abounds when good men do nothing? That's not making a decision. That's like, well, we'll just toe the party line and see what happens. But when evil abounds, when good men do nothing. And unfortunately, the truth is, most of our problems go back to poor decisions we make. However, I just said all that just to excite you, or annoy you, or irritate you, because that's not what I want to talk about. I want to talk about the daily decisions that we make in a deeper area of our lives, a defining moment in our lives, a defining moment in your life. And I know for me, one of the defining moments in my life was when I got saved. And I came home and I didn't have to say anything. I think I did. I went out and swept the driveway. And my wife said to me, wow, something's happened in you. You've changed. You might have heard the story of Yonggi Cho preaching to 25, 30, 40,000. I don't know how many people were there. And while he's preaching, I'm glad Bridget's out in Sunday school today. While he's preaching, his wife walked up to the platform carrying a suitcase. And she came up and she put the suitcase down. And maybe that's why I don't use the mic, because you can't take this away. And she took the mic away from him and she turned and looked at the church and said, I want to go home with this man. Which meant, I have my suitcase packed and I want to go home with this man, because the one that I see at home is not this man. A defining moment in his life. where he realized he'd put everything first above his wife and didn't treat her so well. Maybe you've never actually confessed to being a Christian at work, but they know there's something different about you. And maybe they ask you and you say, well, it's because I'm a child of the King, and they go, that's it. A defining moment. They will never look at you the same way. I won't steal Chris's thunder, but Chris tells stories how often he gets ragged. Ragged, you say that word, yeah? Mocked, teased. Is that a Yeah, no, I don't even know why I asked the front row, because I know I'm not going to get the right answer. He gets mocked, he gets teased, he gets shouted at work because of his Christian stance. But whenever anyone in work is in trouble, the first place they run to is, Chris, help me. Chris, pray for me. Chris, what do you say about this thing? Defining moment. Because he does not let his battle standard down. Because he stands solidly for the gospel and for the King. A defining moment is a watershed where we can and our destiny may be defined for the next 20 or 30 years. A time when our character will be fashioned and formed by our Father in heaven. Let's have a look at some biblical examples. Joseph, he was sold by his own flesh and blood into slavery. And he was, what was meant for evil, God turned around to mean for good. Because when the time came and there was a famine in the land, we know the story. And then he plays games with him and sends him home and gets him to bring Benjamin. Because they left the Baba boy at home. And he brings him and then he reveals himself. Genesis 50 verse 20. As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. It was a defining moment. I'm just giving you these examples for you to help you to see our defining moment. John the Baptist was having a great ministry time. He was, come, repent, let me baptize you. The stinky guy in this camel skin, camel hair, eating honey and having a party on the riverbank. And then his cousin came along and crashed his party and messed all things up for him. He came, John 3:27, John answered, a person cannot receive even one thing unless it is given from above. Everything we have is given from above. Nothing is ours. Step into a new understanding, a new realm of being thankful that God has given us what we have. Everything. Not just material thing, everything. And then in verse 30 he says, he must increase but I must decrease. And we've taken that to mean a whole bunch of stuff that it doesn't mean. And what it really means is that my cousin Jesus must increase and I must decrease. I'm not woe is me and I'm a little worm now. No, it's not that. It's that here he is, the Savior of the world. I'm the forerunner, the foreshadow of the one that must come. It was a defining moment for John's realization of that. And then he went and lost his head. Job lost his wife, he lost his children, he lost his business, he lost his farm, he lost everything. Can you just for a moment just take, he lost everything? Everything? Well, I still got $100 in the bank. Everything? 1 cent in the bank. Everything? Those of you who have husbands and wives here, children, can you even conceive that? And he still looked to God. And he had a couple of buddies who said, or his wife actually said, just curse God and die. This is like not worth it. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. A defining moment. Jesus had gathered his disciples together and asked them, who do the people say that I am? Some said Elisha, some say Elijah, and some say this prophet, and some that. And Peter, as I said last week, revelation. You are the Christ. We know that that was a defining moment. And the thing is that even if we miss the defining moment, it remains a defining moment. It's because we didn't get it doesn't mean, okay, it'll go away. If it's snowing outside when we go out of here, sorry, heaven forbid it is. Sorry. Let's not argue. If it's snowing outside when we get there and we say, it's not snowing, it's not snowing, it's not snowing, it will be still snowing. The walls at the top are blue. You might want them to be pink, but they're not. They're blue. You can think as much as you like that they're pink, 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 pink. But they're not. They're blue. Jesus before Pontius Pilate, who didn't actually really want to crucify him by all accounts, John chapter 18, then Pilate said to him, so, you are the king. Jesus answered, you say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. Pilate said to him, what is truth? After he had said this, he went back outside and the Jews and told them, I find no guilt in this man. Pilate couldn't see that truth was staring him in the face. Jesus explained it. Anyone who accepts the truth is mine. What's truth? I think Pilate was years before his time. He probably in his time lived in a modern, postmodern Christian society and don't have to go into the whole story of David and Bathsheba, 2 Samuel chapter 11. A defining moment. A choice he had to make. Jonah chapter 1. A defining moment. Go this way. Okay, God. I asked a friend of mine he's a good artist, so I asked him, a young guy, I asked him to paint something for me this week. So I said to him, can you just paint this for me, please? So he paints, but sends it back, and he's painted something else. And he says, I just work it out of my mind, and I thought you might like this. So I was very polite. I went back, and I said, I really appreciate your art, but that's not what I asked for. Thanks. You know? Will you go in this direction? Will you follow God in this direction? Because this is the way he's leading. Sure. Hey, we're over here. No, I'm over here, says God. A defining moment for us. Okay, let's have a look at some defining moments. Number one, defining moment number one, the lovely word. This is especially for the men, but the women can also pay attention because I figured out that women are gifted this way too. It's called control. Men or women, we love control. And I mean, I was going to bring it up today, but I don't have it. Got a cell phone ready, available. Don't throw it. Yeah, this is good. So, this is not a cell phone. This is what, men? Who said that? A remote. A remote control. VCR. DVDs. Whatever. Yeah. Flip hands. I can be left-handed and right-handed. But if you live in our house, you'll also know that Bridget's quick on the draw. But I was just watching that program. I know, babes, it's boring. It's like, what's this flip the house thing? How to make your house look better? Give me UFC. MMA. You know, in South Africa, where I come from, I love driving automatic. But in South Africa, if you suggested to any male between the ages of 18 and 26 that he should drive an automatic, you'll go like this. What? Are you mad? I like stick shift because we got the control. Some of you young guys who drive automatics, you should try stick shift, boy. You can change down third gear, pull the handbrake up, spin the wheel. Donuts. So what are the, sometimes we get so carried away with the control that we actually forget what's going on in our lives. And then we find out that there's a breakdown in a relationship, there's a breakdown in everything else because we want so much control that we've actually become ugly with it. The defining moment for us today is to hand over the control to the master of the universe, to allow him to take control. No, love, you can't do it this way. You have to do it that way. Why? Well, because I said so. No, that's just control. I'm not talking about just good biblical headship. I'm talking about unadulterated control. Husbands, men, when